welcome to Ashley Silveri.
Thank you so much. It is an honor and a joy to be here sharing in the church that I grew up in. I remember sitting in these seats and down here praying and God transforming and changing my life. And it's so true. If you have children that bring any concern, I think we do get gray hair in our age because of our kids. But I have a 3-year-old strong-willed child, and I'm like, okay, there's hope. Just channel that energy. Pray over. Keep praying for your children. Keep loving on your children. Keep accepting them right where they're at, but praying for where God wants to take them. They're looking for that acceptance and that love. And so, again, happy Father's Day to all you amazing dads. Like my dad, Pastor Randy, said, you could be anywhere, but you chose to be here, and God is going to bless that, I know. I love being here, so I could say personally, happy Father's Day, Dad. Thank you so much for just the years of encouraging me and being there, those daddy-daughter dates. I always remember getting out of school, getting to go to lunch, being at our sports games when I needed advice. And for you and my mom, both, your love and encouragement for me to go after the God-given dreams in my heart. I would not be standing here today sharing with you if it wasn't for my amazing parents. So thank you and happy Father's Day. Before I get started in my message, I found a really fun video that I wanted to start our time off with. So if we could play that first video and focus your eyes on the screen.
I don't care how late you stay out. Stay out as late as you want.
You want to borrow the new car? You want to borrow my credit card?
Kids today, they really have it rough.
I have no idea where we are or where we're going.
I mean, when I was their age, life was easy, super easy.
Why haven't you gotten a tattoo yet? How come you don't have any piercings yet?
Yep, we're lost. We are completely lost.
Ooh, sports.
Just do whatever the mechanic says to do.
Vehicle maintenance is completely overrated.
Look, whatever the mechanic is asking, just pay him. Pay him whatever he wants.
I wish they had soap operas at night. I like that boy. You should date him. You should date him immediately.
Well, what about the creepy guy with the motorcycle? He's cute.
Yeah, sure. Spring break in Tahiti sounds fun. Hey, make sure you get all your video games done before you start your homework.
You don't have to pass all your classes.
What? You have a project due tomorrow, and you've known about it for 4 weeks, and you haven't started yet? Sweet!
Doesn't anybody want to know if we're there yet?
Remember, if you need anything between midnight and 4 a.m., please come wake me up.
Hey, I'm on the phone. Could you bring the baby over and let him climb all over me?
Hey! Hey, can you please turn that music up?
Well, we just stopped for lunch 10 minutes ago, but yeah, let's stop again.
I never have trouble with my toddler.
I never have trouble with my teenagers.
I never have trouble with my adult children.
You know, she's right. We are ruining her life.
Yes, more homework to correct.
All right, whining.
Yay, tantrums.
Vomit.
We just really need to spoil these kids more.
Sorry, buddy. I don't know any good jokes at all.
You're 16. You pretty much know everything now.
I think 18's a great age to get married.
Okay, remember, make sure you turn on all the lights before you leave the house.
Hey, could you leave the front door open for a couple hours?
Thanks.
Whoa, money really does grow on trees.
Yeah, I liked it too, and it has absolutely nothing to do with what I'm sharing with this morning, but we all need a good laugh. It's good to laugh in church. So this morning I've titled my message, Lessons from Joseph, or if you want to, you know, another way to say it, Lessons from Joe. We're going to look at the life of Joseph, and I want us to imagine this morning that we're sitting across from good old Joe at a Starbucks or coffee shop, tea shop of your choice. And we've just asked him a very important question. What are 3 keys to being the man and the father God has called and created you to be? And if we look at his story in Genesis 37 is kind of the hub of where we're looking at, but I'm going to be kind of jumping around place to place. But if you want to open your Bible or your smart device there, go ahead, but we're going to be kind of jumping around, but that's kind of the meat of where we're going. So what I believe he would tell us, the very first thing, is know your worth. Know your worth. The story of Joseph begins in chapter 37, where we see Joseph was loved by his father. In verse 3, we see he's given a robe that his father has made, and this causes some conflict between him and his brothers, which is totally understandable because I come from a home with two other sisters. I have an older sister and a younger sister. I'm smack dab in the middle. And if my parents would have made a dress and given it to just one of us, yeah, there would have been some issues. There would have been some jealousy. There would have been some questioning there and some hurt feelings. And we see that take place in the story. But as I read this story for maybe the 100th time in my life, I really felt like the Holy Spirit showed me something different and something new that I'd never seen before. And I love that. The Bible is alive. It's the Word of God. And read it, because it's so amazing how you can read something over and over, and that moment that you need it, that verse will jump off the pages. And that's why God tells us to hide His Word in our heart, because there's times where you're going through different things, and He'll illuminate something, bring it to memory. And it's truth, it's His Word. And so as I was reading it, I felt like the Holy Spirit pointed out that it was Joseph's pure confidence in his father's love that allowed him to walk with his head held high. Many would argue that Joseph was cocky, but I want to shed light this morning that when we know, truly know we are loved down to our very being, we cannot help but walk in that confident love. We walk in the gifting that God has given us. We don't apologize or make excuses or even try to people please. We live in complete obedience to what God, our Heavenly Father, has called us to. In verses 5 and 9 of Genesis 37, we see that Joseph was a dreamer. Many of you know him as Joseph the dreamer. And as we read on in this story, that is who God created him to be and how God used him. He gave him prophetic dreams, which literally not only saved Joseph's family, but saved thousands of families in Joseph's lifetime. How many of us have shied away from our God-given gifting because of the fear of what other people might think or what they might say? But God is calling us to live, as Paul said in Galatians 1:10. He said, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Am I now trying to please people? If I were trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. Now, his brothers were not in a place to hear the dreams that Joseph had. It only made them more furious with their baby bro. And I truly believe, though, that Joseph didn't intend to mock his brothers or rub it in their face as he shared his dreams. He was just explaining the dreams that God had given him. Imagine that. Imagine if God spoke to you through dreams. How excited, how awesome that would be. How you would want to share that. But of course, it definitely added fuel to the fire, and his brothers had had enough. But hear me this morning. Yes, there is a time and a place for everything. And yes, Joseph was young and immature, but he knew God had given him the dreams. And because he was so secure in his relationship with his earthly and heavenly father, he shared from his heart. He didn't walk on eggshells. He didn't cover up or hide the gift that God had given him. He didn't make excuses. He daily lived love and was surrounded by brothers who, from as I studied and read, kind of maybe struggled with some insecurity, maybe struggled to know their value and their worth. You see, I believe if the brothers knew their value, if they were walking in those giftings and walking in the talents that God had given them, they would be able to celebrate with their brother and encourage him and not plot his death. There's a quote that I read that's so fitting. It says, insecure people try and make you feel smaller, while confident people love to see you walk taller. God intends for all of us to shine bright in this world, and the only way that we can do that is if we truly know our worth. Joseph knew his value and worth, and because he understood it to the core of who he was, because he knew that he was loved, he knew he didn't have to earn it. He didn't have to prove it. He knew it and walked in that daily. I love that. An author and speaker that I admire, John Eldridge says, every man wants to know, do I have what it takes? Please hear from your loving Heavenly Father this morning. You do. You have what it takes, men, to stand up and be who God's created you to be, to lead your family, to lead your children, to walk in that truth. You have what it takes. And maybe some of you came here this morning just to hear that, just to know that truth. I just want to encourage you with that this morning. You do. You have what it takes to be that husband, that father, that brother, that friend God called you to be. And just like Joseph, as you truly understand that you're loved, you'll begin to understand how valuable you are and how much worth you have. God desires to use you. And my prayer is that you will allow him to come into those broken areas of your heart. Maybe those places that nobody knows about or just few trusted friends. Those deep hurts, those deep wounds. And just as we were in worship, God just... He just spoke to my heart that he even wanted to heal those daddy wounds. Father's Day is an amazing celebration, but for some of us, it's one of the hardest days ever because of those wounds. Or maybe your father wasn't there, or fathers are human. We are human. Maybe they failed you, and maybe you've carried that hurt, and God is wanting you to release that today, to feel so you can deal with it and eventually heal. God wants to heal you. And to reach out, it's so hard sometimes for, just like on that video, stuff dads never say, I'm lost, I need help. We need help, we need support. Something that God speaks to my heart all the time, and we live this mission with our students at our church, is that you are not meant to walk through life alone. You're not. Reach out, find that support. Find that person you can trust. Open up your heart. Link arms. Let's do this together. Our culture puts men in a box. Not all the time. I know we've come a long way. But a lot of times you feel, I can't feel emotion. I have to be the strong one. I can't cry. But the truth is that can only cause damage in the future. You are a human with human emotions. God's created you and wired you on purpose with your giftings. So use that. Shine bright. Know your worth. God desires for you to know that. I love Isaiah 43, verse 1. It says, but now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. You belong to him. You are his. So powerful. Knowing that truly changes everything. It builds your worth. It builds your confidence. I belong to a God that loves me. I belong to a Heavenly Father that will never let me down. He's always there. He's faithful. You can stop fighting, stop striving, stop trying to prove yourself, and just walk in that love. Just be. Just be who God created you to be. Rest in the loving arms of your Creator and live his plan. I believe the second thing Joseph would tell us this morning from his life experience, as we read his story, is to trust God in the unknown. We see in verses 18 and 20 of chapter 37 that Joseph goes to visit his brothers as they're caring for their sheep, and when they see him coming, they are so outraged, so furious and frustrated, they can't take it anymore. We're going to read Genesis 37, 17, the latter part, to verse 20. It says, so when Joseph went after his brothers and found them near Dothan, but they saw him in the distance before he reached them, and they plotted to kill him. Here comes that dreamer, they said to each other. Come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns and say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we'll see what comes of his dreams. Ha ha. Okay, that sinister laugh's not in the Bible, but when I read it, I hear that. The Bible is alive and active, and you can read it and play a part in it. But I have to tell you, the Bible's not boring. It's not. Read it. Get it and make it a part of a daily habit. Even if it's a verse, even if it's a chapter, I can honestly say, thanks to my parents for instilling that in me at a young age. It has been so awesome to have that. To have that in my life, that I read it and I know it. One brother, Reuben, helped talk some sense into his brothers, and instead of killing Joseph, they decided to demoralize him by stripping him down and throwing him into a big hole, the cistern, And not our plan, not our purpose, not our timing, but our little boy got sick when he was in my womb. And halfway through the pregnancy, the Lord decided, my prayer was, Lord, I know that you can heal this baby boy in my womb, and we will give you the praise. You're a miracle-working God. Or I know that you're going to heal him in heaven. And that was ultimately the plan. We lost our second baby boy in the womb. And I just had confidence. I knew that God was faithful, that even though I didn't understand, I said, God, I trust you through this, and I know you have a plan. I would never choose this. This is the hardest thing. My husband and I said we would not wish this experience on our worst enemy. But through that, God opened up a door, and now at my church back in Albany, Oregon, once a month, I help lead a support group called Graceful Wait. And we meet with women who struggle with infertility and infant loss. And I feel like I'm able to bring my little son Ezekiel honor every time I share his story. And I've sat across the table with women. Thank you, Jesus. I sit across the table from women that look at me in the eye and say, thank you for sharing. Thank you for this group. I feel so alone, but when I come here, I know that I'm not alone. And I know that God has a plan. And that was my prayer. I smile and I say, Lord, Ezekiel was, you know, it was like a bit of a vapor. He was here and now he's in heaven in your arms, but you are using his life. He's in heaven with you, but you're using him. And that's the God that we serve. We serve a redemptive God. We serve a God that walks with us and he never fails us and he always has a plan. And I just want to encourage you with that this morning. Your darkest moment can be the brightest light for somebody else. That will bring them home. That will bring them hope. So stand on that truth. We see Joseph. He stood on that truth. He never gave up. Matthew 5:45, the second part said, he causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. As things appear to be finally turning around for Joseph, we see in verse 20 of chapter 39 that Joseph is thrown into prison. We're going to look into the reason in just a few minutes. But again, as he finds himself in this dark prison cell for literally doing nothing wrong, instead of shaking his fist at God and questioning his faithfulness, he chooses yet again to trust. He chooses to continue serving God and using the gifts and talents God gave him. While Joseph is in prison, we see in chapter 40, he makes a few friends. One of them was Pharaoh's cupbearer, and the other was the baker. And both of these men, while in prison, have dreams. And Joseph interprets them. That's the gift that God gave him. We're not going to take time now, but as you read the chapter, you will see it was good news for the cupbearer and not so good news for the baker. Just as Joseph interpreted for them, the cupbearer was released and given back his job, and the baker was killed. Told you the Bible's not boring. Verse 14, Joseph asked the cupbearer to remember him as he is released from prison, but the cupbearer forgets. And if you look at in verse 14, it says, or chapter 41, verse 1, it says, it was 2 years later 2 years. I could just imagine, you know, Joseph interprets the dream. Remember me. He's going to the Pharaoh. Things are going to turn around. Finally, 2 years later. But Joseph kept trusting, probably questioned. He's human. But he didn't shake his fist at God and turn away from him. But finally, Pharaoh has a dream. The cupbearer has this aha moment. I know someone that can interpret this dream for you. So as you can probably guess, Joseph is released. He interprets the dream. He becomes Pharaoh's right-hand man. And this is definitely not what Joseph had in mind for his future. The journey that God took him on, it wasn't on his goal list or his five-year plan. But yet, one of my favorite verses in the story of Joseph is Genesis 50, verse 19. Joseph is talking to his brothers, and he said, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good." Please hear me this morning if you've heard nothing else. Two powerful words in that verse, but God. But God, he's bigger, he's in control, he's faithful. My life is at the worst it's ever been, but God. My finances, it doesn't add up, it doesn't make sense, but God. You don't understand my children, they're walking away from the Lord. Life is just too hard, it's heavy, I'm overwhelmed, I'm depressed, I'm going through. But God, hold on, trust him. He's trustworthy. That's one thing. I know I'm living this life and I've still got more years to go, but of one thing I've learned, he is faithful. He always has a plan. Romans 8:28, it's one of my mom's favorite verses. It says, "And we know that all things, God works together for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose." These trials weren't on Joseph's timeline. Trials usually aren't on our timeline. But God is faithful. I encourage you to place your trust in him this morning, whatever you're going through, and know that nothing's impossible with our God. Third and lastly this morning, to be the man and father God has called you to be. I think Joseph would encourage us with the idea to strive for a life of integrity. So backing up and reading in chapter 39, we see Joseph is working for Potiphar. And in verse 7, Potiphar's wife notices how handsome and hunky Joseph is. And she says, "Come to bed with me." Talk about being forward. And verse 8 tells us that Joseph responds with such integrity as he refuses. And he says, "How could I do such a thing to my master Potiphar and to God?" But she kept it up. She was relentless. Verse 12, it says, she grabbed him by the coat and said, "Come to bed with me." So what do we see Joseph do? He runs. He runs out of the house, leaving his coat behind him. Potiphar's wife cannot believe this happened. She is Potiphar's wife. She's used to getting what she wants when she wants. So here's this man that runs from her. And what does she do? She flips the story around. She says that Joseph came to try to seduce her. And when she screamed, he ran out. So that's why Joseph was sent to prison. And as we look at this portion of the story, I'm always amazed at the character and integrity of Joseph. He could have easily given in to temptation. I mean, this woman was throwing herself at Joseph, asking him over and over to come to bed with me. He could have given in, but he chose to honor God, to put God first, to live that life of integrity. You see, integrity is choosing your thoughts and actions based on values rather than personal gain. It's doing the right thing, it's doing the right thing, knowing that no one is going to know whether you did it or not. As I was studying this portion of Joseph's life, God actually spoke to me about the danger of not having integrity with another story in the Bible. And I'm just going to highlight it for the sake of time as a comparison and a contrast. The story is found in 2 Samuel 11, and it is the story of David. Many of you are familiar with the story of David. But in this passage of Scripture, David is king, and his army is out to war. But we find David at home. He should have been out there with his men, fighting on the front lines, on the battlefield, but he's at home. And when he's at home, he decides to go on the roof. He sees a beautiful woman bathing. Many of you know her name is Bathsheba. And when David sees her, he desires her, and he orders her to come to bed with him. I encourage you to take time to read this whole chapter and story, and you'll see that one decision, led David to murder and then losing his son. We are all one decision away from losing everything. That's important to think of sometimes. One decision could literally cost you your wife or your husband, your family, your position, your credibility with others. Something that stood out to me in these stories we're comparing is when you know you're somewhere you shouldn't be, many times you're going to do something you know you shouldn't do. So the encouragement is, instead of how close can I get to the line, how far away can I stay back? I want to honor God. I want to live a life of integrity. I want to be the man that God's called me to be. Not easy, and God is faithful. If you read through the story of David, yes, he messed up. Yes, he failed, but he got back up. He asked forgiveness, and God even calls him a man after his own heart. We serve a forgiving God. We serve a God that, as we read in Romans 8:28, works it for good. If you give it to him, if you come clean, we have a saying we love to say, if you mess up, fess up, and let God handle it. Joseph, on the other hand, he knew he shouldn't be in bed with his master's wife, and he literally fled. He left everything and got out. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except for what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so you can endure it. God also always provides a way out, but will we listen? Will we obey? Will we run from temptation? Will we set up safeguards and accountability? I want to end our time by showing this little video that my husband took on his iPhone. It's a little rough because it's from an iPhone, but I just love, my husband sent this to me, and I texted back, thank you for giving me the very end of my Father's Day message. So I'm going to show this, and we'll just close our time together.
And what happened to your Smith Rock Fitness?
Oh, no. I lost it.
I lost it. You got it, bud. Keep going. Keep going, bud. You can do it. Good job, dude. Good job, dude.
I know I can do it. Yeah. I can't.
You can.
I can.
You can, bud. You're almost there. Look, you're almost there. There it is.
I made it.
You made it. All right, dude.
I love his little spinning arm. Get me the rest of the way. And when I saw that, I was just like, yes, that is life. Life feels like an uphill battle sometimes. As we strive to know our worth, as we strive to trust in the unknown and live a life of integrity. Can we have the worship team come up and join us as we just close our time this morning? Thanks, Pastor Dave. It's an uphill battle. But just like my husband was telling my son, I feel like God wants to tell you today, you can do it. You can do it, not on your own strength, not on your own power, but by the strength of God. He's got you. He's got you. And you grow through that. Because Lord knows, if I was on that hike and my son was huffing and puffing, I'd be scooping him up, carrying him the rest of the way. And I just thought, God, you're so good. Because he learned such a valuable lesson at the age of 3 that he can do it. He can do it with that encouragement. God is never going to force us to do anything. God's never going to force you to live the life he wants you to live, but he has the best for you. And as you take a hold of his hand and as you listen to your Father's voice, that you've got it. You can do it. Let me help you. Let me speak my worth into you. Let me speak you are valuable and you are loved. Let me help you. You've got to trust me in the unknown. You've got to trust me when you don't understand what's going on. I have a plan. I'm a big God. Watch how the story's going to play out. I'm faithful. And living that life of integrity, it's not easy. You guys live in Las Vegas. It is not easy. It's everywhere out there. But he can help you because it's worth it, you guys. It's worth it to say no out there, to say yes to your family, to say yes to God. You're literally living and leading an example for generations to come. So as we close our time, I was really praying through how God wanted me to end this time. And I really do want to honor our fathers and pray a prayer of blessing over them. But I just felt, if you've come, the prayer that I pray over my boys every night is, God, at their earliest age, would they give into the passionate pursuit of your heart? God's passionately pursuing you, and if he's brought you here today, and you don't know him personally as a loving heavenly father, you have those daddy wounds, you have those daddy scars, and the thought of a heavenly father freaks you out. He's brought you here today to heal that. So I just want to invite you, as you're sitting here and contemplating, if you've never given your life to Jesus, or maybe it's been a while, maybe you've kind of been on the run and doing things you know you shouldn't do because you're places you know you shouldn't be, today's the day to make things right. And so I just want to invite our church leadership team to come across the front. If they would, our pastors, the leadership team, if you could come, because I'm going to ask if everyone would stand. And if there's an area that we've talked about this morning, whether you're a father or a mother, young or old, wherever you find yourself, if the Holy Spirit has been just speaking to you this morning about any of those areas, or maybe there's that daddy wound or that struggle, that pain, I just want to invite you guys to come forward. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to invite you to come, and we're just going to take this time. We have some time just to pray, to give God your heart. Let him feel you. Let him use you. Live that God-given calling that he's placed on your life. Lord, I thank you so much for this beautiful day. I thank you that you have been here and you are here. I thank you that everyone that sits in these seats is here because you've passionately pursued them. You're wooing us. You love us, God. Thank you that nothing's impossible with you. Lord, thank you that you want us to know our value in you. You want us to trust and strive for that life of integrity. It's not easy, but it's worth it. I pray for those with the daddy wounds, God, with the painful heart and the hurts, Lord, that you would come and just wrap your arms around them. Lord, I just thank you.